Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us on this Memorial Day is Michael Clare, a Fife College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies and Director of the Fife College Program on Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College. His books include American Arms Supermarket, World Security, Challenges for a New Century, Rogue States and Nuclear Outlaws, Blood and Oil, and his most recent book is The Race for What's Left, The Global Scramble for the World's Last Resource. And he has an article at The Nation, Donald Trump is driving us on a road to hell in the Middle East. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Clare.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
Well, thank you, Michael. And I think you could update your article by saying that Donald Trump is driving us on a road to hell in the Middle East and on the Korean Peninsula, given what happened last Thursday.
I fear that's the case. I think ever since John Bolton and Mike Pompeo joined the team at the White House, I feared that we're going to be headed down this path, because they both have spoken before about their belief that these issues are best solved through the use of military force. So they've hinted as much, and they're doing everything they possibly can to sabotage a peaceful outcome to our issues with Iran and North Korea. And I think, therefore, we are headed on a path to war with either or both of those countries.
Well, but it was Bolton and Mike Pence who clearly sabotaged it by talking about the Libyan model. And when the North Koreans objected, Pence then doubled down by saying, well, the Libyan model does apply. If the North Koreans don't agree to the deal, Kim Jong-un could end up, implying that Kim Jong-un could end up like Gaddafi. I mean, that is a threat, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. Mike Pence has contributed to this. But the ouster of Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, as somebody who had favored a diplomatic solution to these situations, who had favored retention of the nuclear deal with Iran, who favored negotiations with North Korea, and replacing him and the National Security Advisor with these avowed hawks, signaled to me that the White House was intent on a path that would lead, as I say, lead to the possibility of war. And I'm really frightened at this moment that we're headed in that direction.
Well, one of the things that's extraordinary, I mean, Trump is clearly an ignoramus and an incompetent. And I call it government by stunt. He keeps whipsawing you all the time with these stunts, like pulling out of the North Korea talks, because he doesn't really know what he's doing. But the idea that this rank amateur can think that you tear up the Iran deal, and if you cancel the nuclear talks with North Korea, you can then come back and make a better deal. It's complete delusion.
That's a kind way of putting it. You're absolutely right. But I do fear that lurking behind all of this, there's a belief that Trump has had from the beginning that, oh, well, you know, he says the way he says it, well, he says, we'll see. Or, you know, I think lurking behind all of this is his belief that, well, if negotiations don't work out the way we want them, well, we'll go to the next level and we'll blast them to cinders. And he talks that way all the time, and he has repeated that recently. I think that's the way he thinks. If he doesn't get his way one way, he'll get it another way through the use of force. And he has no hesitation about going in that direction, or at least that's the way it sounds to me. And now he has eliminated anybody in the White House who might think otherwise, like Rex Tillerson and others, and replaced them with people who support this fantasy.
And again, I'm speaking with Michael Clare, a Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies and Director of the Five College Program in Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College. His latest book is The Race for What's Left, The Global Scramble for the World's Last Resources. And he has an article at The Nation, Donald Trump is Driving Us on a Road to Hell in the Middle East. So on this Memorial Day, we, of course, observe the enormous sacrifices the United States has made in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the wars in the Middle East, which, of course, were by and large unnecessary and certainly counterproductive. But the idea that we could have a third Gulf War is just mind-boggling. But you seem to think, and I must say I share your concerns, that that is where we're heading. So what's your scenario for what's going on here? Because I see a very dangerous mix of Netanyahu pushing Trump, wanting us to fight his war for him against Iran. The same is true of MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. You've got Eric Prince with his mercenary army there in the Emirates. MBZ is a dangerous guy who's actually a mentor of MBS's. And you've got the Straits of Hormuz, where all that choke point with all the tankers going by and warships and the Iranian Revolutionary Guards with their little speedboats. Trump's already warned them, saying, don't you come too close to our beautiful warships. Anything could spark a wider war there. And you've also, on top of that, you've got these proxies of the Iranians, like the Houthis firing missiles at Saudi Arabia. And then you've also got the UAE and other proxies working in Yemen in a terrible, destructive war that is a crying shame in terms of the humanitarian outrages going on there.
Yes, all that you say is part of this larger picture that I think is leading us to the possibility of a conflict with Iran. What I distinguish what's happening now from what I call a third Gulf War is the conflict's now underway, and we have to admit, as you say, that these are bloody affairs in Yemen and the continuing fighting in Syria and in Libya and elsewhere, Afghanistan. But in all of those conflicts, the adversaries that the United States faces are guerrillas, insurgents, and the like. If we go to war with Iran, which I think is what John Bolton would like to see happen in the not-too-distant future, we're talking about a state versus another state kind of a war, as was the case in the first Gulf War in 1991 and the second Gulf War, the 2003 invasion of Iraq. In that case of a war with Iran, we're talking about army versus army with large-scale operations, many, many planes and ships and missiles engaged in a risk of a very high level of intensity of conflict, of many casualties spread all across the Middle East. Because, as you say, Ian, there are these so-called proxy forces in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Syria, Iraq, elsewhere that would enter into the fray. So this would be a region-wide conflict fought at a very high level by advanced military forces on both sides. So the risk of escalation and large-scale casualties would be very great.
But in the meantime, both Iran and Saudi Arabia are essentially fighting a war through their proxies, which is destroying Yemen and has already destroyed Syria.
Yes, but I think we should be a little bit careful about using that term. The Houthis are an autonomous, independent group with their own history that have accepted assistance from Iran. It's clear. But I think by calling them proxies of Iran, that feeds into the propaganda coming out of the White House, and as you say, Netanyahu, and as you say, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, all of whom want to picture what's happening in the Middle East as a product of Iranian influence and Iranian proxies. The Houthis are not proxies of the Iranians in quite the same way that the coalition forces, so-called Saudi Arabia and the UAE, are fighting in Yemen, that's an invasion. That's an intervention by a foreign power in a sovereign country of Yemen. The Houthis are an autonomous, independent group who originated there, who have long been suffered at the hands of government authorities. So they have accepted Iranian aid, but I wouldn't call them proxies. I think we're seeing an attempt to portray Iran as a monster octopus controlling all these groups. Hezbollah is another example. Hamas. So we got to be careful.
Well, that's certainly a point well taken. But on the other hand, I think the great tragedy of the moment, and I must say that the speech that Mike Pompeo made recently about Iran was completely delusional. But the reality in Iran is that the young, the educated, the women, the majority, except for the people in the country, it's kind of like the blue state, red state divide here, the urban educated people just loathe this government. It's a bunch of crooked mullahs who are bleeding the country dry. And then on top of that, the budget was published a little while back that outraged the people. They realized how much money the theocrats were stealing and how much money was being wasted on supporting Hezbollah and Hamas. And Iranians were demonstrating in the street saying, no more aid for the Palestinians. How about us? And the economy is on its knees. Inflation is out of control. The promise that they made through this nuclear deal of opening up hasn't happened. And frankly, I don't know that anybody wants to do business with Iran as long as you could be captured and jailed by the IRGC. The Chinese, of course, are doing business hand over fist with them. And as the U.S. pulls out, Russia and China will have more influence in that part of the world, particularly in Iran. So this is, to my mind, the real tragedy is that Iran is ripe for regime change, but it has to happen from within. And the minute that the U.S., the Israelis and the Saudis gin up a war, the Iranians will rally around the flag and support this dreadful government of mullahs.
I think you spoke very well to this point about the fact that the masses of the Iranians, or most of them anyway, the more and more of the population is young, youthful. They want to have access to the West. They want to have opportunities for economic advancement and so on. I think you're absolutely right about that. They'd like to get rid of this regime, and they would like to be able to travel to the United States and to the West and so on. So you're right about that. You're also equally right that if the U.S. attacks, Israel attacks, they will rally around the flag. All of that is true. I just think it's dangerous to demonize the Iranians at a time when there are these powerful forces in the White House, in Saudi Arabia, and Israel and elsewhere that are gearing us up to go to war with Iran. Iran is a large country. I forget how many millions of people, but it's a big country, and it's going to defend itself, and it would be a horror if we go to war with Iran. So I just argue against anything that would demonize Iran at this moment. I don't support what they're doing. They did, however, agree to a nuclear agreement with the United States. They've abided by that agreement scrupulously from all that we know. They've done everything that we've asked them to do. And now Donald Trump is torn up the deal, saying that they're not in compliance with it. But it's absolutely clear that they have been in compliance with the deal, including the mullahs, even though they weren't happy with it. So in this case, the rogue state is the United States of America, not the Iranians. And I hope that the Europeans that argued against tearing up the deal will stand with the Iranians in trying to preserve that deal. It was a good deal for us because it prevented Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons.
Well, Michael Clare, I thank you very much for joining us on this Memorial Day.
It's been my pleasure. These are difficult issues, and we all need to grapple as best we can with them. Thank you, Ian, for taking this up.
And again, I've been speaking with Michael Clare, Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies and Director of the Five College Program in Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College. His books include American Arms Supermarket, World Security, Challenges for a New Century, Rogue States and Nuclear Outlaws, Blood and Oil, and most recently, The Race for What's Left, The Global Scramble for the World's Last Resources. And he has an article at The Nation, Donald Trump is Driving Us on a Road to Hell in the Middle East. This has been a special Memorial Day edition of Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producers Ricky Herrera, Kathleen Ash, and Alejandra Larivalat. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.